In one of my classes last week, a student mentioned something so true. How we are feeling on the day of the CELPIP exam can have a deep impact on our performance. Isn't that the truth? Feeling worried and anxious about using your English and getting the score you need on the CELPIP can impact you in so many ways. Many of which involve you forgetting what to say or how to say something. It can make you feel blocked so that you can't come up with ideas and that you struggle with how to put your ideas together once you actually get them. The times that you do give a strong answer is usually because you are not under pressure. Have you ever found that when you have unlimited time and zero stress weighing on you, you can produce great responses in English? But you can't feel good about those responses because you know, they aren't what you'll be able to produce when you only have 30 or 60 seconds, like how the CELPIP exam gives you. And so the worry and anxiety and fear become louder and louder. And instead of confidently preparing for your exam, you find yourself feeling paralyzed and unsure you'll be able to get the score you need on the exam. And your day of getting your PR or your citizenship in Canada seems to get farther and farther and farther away. How do you deal with that kind of worry and anxiety so that it doesn't screw you over on the day of the exam? Let's talk about it together today. Well, hello there, and welcome to the Speak English Fearlessly podcast. This is the podcast for motivated English learners who want to speak English fearlessly and learn practical tips and strategies to conquer the CELPIP exam. I also love to feature encouraging interviews with regular people, people just like you, who are working towards becoming fluent in English so we can learn from their experiences together. Who am I? My name is Aaron Nelson, and I've been an English teacher for over 16 years, and I now help students prepare for the CELPIP exam through online classes. So if you struggle with anxiety and with worry, especially when it comes to you using English, and especially when it comes to you using English on the CELPIP exam, like if that felt like you that I was talking about at the beginning there, where you feel yourself being stuck, like you feel paralyzed when you are coming face to face with a question from the CELPIP exam. If that feels like you, the first thing that I want to leave you with today is you're not alone. You are not the only one who struggles with this kind of anxiety. Studies show that 1 in 4 language learners, 1 in 4, deal with anxiety related to their language skills. And I'm willing to bet that that number is actually higher. But 1 in 4. 1 in 4 people struggle with this if they're learning a new language. That's pretty high. And you might be thinking to yourself, okay, but that doesn't really help me. I mean, it doesn't help me to deal with my own anxiety. Well, I want to kind of offer this to you. You're not the only one who's dealing with this. So that means that the messaging that maybe you're telling yourself around that anxiety that you feel, like you're the only one, that you suck at this and you're never going to get better at it and you're never going to be able to achieve the score you need on the CELPIP exam, I bet you something like that rolls around your head when you have one of those moments where you freeze because you're so nervous. Am I right? Is that kind of what goes on inside? Is that kind of what you tell yourself when you have those moments of getting stuck and frozen and where you forget everything that you thought you knew about English? And you can't seem to put those words together when you are trying to give your answer, and then you don't get the result that you're hoping for. Like if you're trying to do the CELPIP and you don't score the score that you need or you want, know that you're not the only one struggling with this. And because you're not the only one struggling with this, you can tell those words that are floating through your mind that you suck, that you're never going to achieve this, that you're a failure, that you're the only one dealing with this. So just know that you're not the only one dealing with this. And this is helpful for you because you can tell those lies that are going around in your head, telling you that you suck at this, that you're never going to be able to get the results that you're looking for, that you might as well give up. You can tell those thoughts, no, I am not the only one. And all I need to do is to keep going, and I'm going to get this. So know that you are not alone as you struggle through this. There are many, 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 many people who struggle with anxiety when it comes to using language that is not their own. I'm going to tell you a little story. I have always loved podcasts. I can't remember when I first discovered them, but it was a long time ago. It was way back when I was living in Mexico. I was probably in my mid-20s, and it was right when my wife and I were trying to start our own language school. I remember walking from the bus to one of my clients, listening to a podcast that I had found that was talking all about how to work with clients and get them to work with you in ways that help your business grow. One of the challenges that I was facing was having my students pay me on time. That was one of the reoccurring problems that I was struggling with. And I happened to find a podcast, not about a guy who was an English teacher, but a person who was beginning their own counseling business. And the things that he was sharing that he learned about how to keep his clients paying him on time applied to my situation. Or at least I easily found the connection to how his situation could apply to my situation. And it actually helped solve my problem. Ever since that point, in fact, I can still remember, I can still see that day. It was a bright, sunny, hot day. I was walking from the bus to my client, listening to this person sharing his story in a podcast. And I remember thinking, this is such a wonderful, really cool tool, a way to learn on the go. That was when my love for podcasts began, way back then in the mid-2000s. And I started my very first podcast with my wife, also while I was in Mexico. And it was all focused on helping English learners build their skills in English. We didn't get too many episodes in before life got in the way, and we just didn't have enough time to devote to it. So we ended up canceling it and stopping it. But I loved podcasting so much that I wanted to try. Then fast forward to when we moved here to Canada back in 2015. I started another podcast because I wanted to find a way to start my own business. And I was thinking to myself, well, what could I do? I have no idea what I could do. I was struggling to find work at the time. And I was thinking, well, maybe I could try to start my own business helping other English teachers launch their business. I was remembering that moment that I had so many years before where I was listening to a podcast and that podcast helped me with my business. And I thought, well, I had 16 years of experience as an English teacher. Maybe I could share some of that knowledge in the form of a podcast. And so I got to work on it. And let me tell you, that was hard. I don't know what was different between that very first podcast that I started in Mexico with my wife. Maybe it was that my wife and I were both working on it, so it didn't feel like I was all by myself. But this one that I was working on, it was just me. And boy, I can't tell you how many hours I spent trying to record, getting upset with what I had said, feeling like I said stupid things, not being happy with how I said what I was trying to say, forgetting to press record after saying out a whole episode, and then having to do it all over again, hours of making mistake after mistake after mistake, and needing to re-record, and so many things that I did not know about podcasting. I don't know everything about podcasting now, but this time around, it's a little bit different with this podcast that you are listening to right now. But that first podcast that I did when I was here in Canada was hard. It was like a nightmare every time I tried to hit record, at least for the first, I would say 8 or 10 episodes. It was a real struggle for me to get the words out in ways that I felt good about. So I really identify with you when you say that you have trouble bringing your words from your mind and have them come out properly when you are speaking, especially on the CELPIP exam. I feel that frustration with you, my friend. I feel it. I understand where you're coming from if that's something that you struggle with. And that podcast, that first podcast, I think I did probably around 20 episodes, and then I decided to call it quits. I should have kept going. But I just couldn't get past my own thoughts. I felt like I wasn't doing a good enough job. I felt like I wasn't helping the people that I wanted to help I wasn't getting hardly any responses from people who were downloading my show. And so I kind of felt like maybe it's a failure. Maybe I'm a failure because I'm not doing a good enough job at this. So I'm just going to call it quits. Looking back, I kind of wish I had kept going, knowing what I know now about podcasts and how long they take or how long they can take to gain an audience. I didn't know that back then. But anyway, that doesn't matter. The point is, I gave up because I allowed my own negative mindset, my building negative mindset around how I was doing, to kind of take me off that course of action or that goal or that objective of trying to create my own business built around that podcast. But you know, even though that was a failure or that didn't work, I still loved podcasts. In fact, I've never stopped listening to them. Once I discovered them, I just have always had a podcast that I've loved listening to. Today, if I were to show you my podcasting app on my phone, I think it's safe to say I have at least a dozen podcasts that I'm subscribed to and that I'll listen to regularly. Like whenever I'm walking into work or if I'm driving somewhere, I will always have a podcast ready for me to listen to. That's how much I enjoy them. So podcasting has always been there in my mind for me. And then a year and a bit ago, my wife and I were thinking, well, what can we do? We want to start our own business. And podcast was always something that was in my mind, in my heart, something that I wanted to try and do again because I loved it so much. And that's how kind of the part of how this podcast, the one that you are listening to right now, how that one was born. Because I love it so much, I wanted to try yet again. And I had lots of people around me who were asking me about English and about the CELPIP exam. And so I thought, well, maybe I can begin sharing what I've learned as an English teacher to help my friends. That's kind of how this podcast was born. And I want you to know that the first episodes of this podcast was kind of a similar start to the ones that I was doing before when I was trying to help other English teachers. The first episodes were so hard for me to do of this podcast that you're listening to now that there were, I would say, the first five or maybe six episodes were so difficult for me to get out that I almost gave up after almost every single episode. I would tell my wife, I suck at this. I'm not good at this. Probably no one's going to listen to it. Probably the things that I'm sharing won't help anyone. Imposter syndrome. It was so loud. I don't know why, but it was there. I was feeling like I didn't know what I was talking about, even though I have helped so many people over the years build their English skills. But for some reason, this in my head, this was different. I was telling myself, this is a different situation. I'm not able to help anybody. All my experience doesn't matter. There's just no way that you're going to be able to create a podcast that people will actually want to listen to. And like I said a moment ago, there were so many times in those first few episodes when I came this close to giving up. And I'm so thankful that my wife didn't let me. She kept pushing me to keep trying, to not give up. And here we are today. I'm almost a year and a month into this podcasting journey. And I have to say that I love doing it now. I really, really enjoy it. But one of the things that I've had to do to enable myself to create these episodes is very often I need to script out every single word that I'm sharing with you. And yet I know podcasters out there who are able to just, you know, maybe make bullet points about what they want to say, and they're just able to go off of those bullet points. To me, that's what I am hoping or striving or leaning towards wanting to be able to do. But I can't. Or at least I'm not there yet. I'm getting better at it, actually. I'm getting better at just bulleting down ideas and being able to speak to you based on those points. But before, at the early stages of this podcast, I would get so nervous that if I tried to do that, I would just be going nowhere. I'd be rambling on topics that didn't make sense. Like the very first episodes of this podcast, there were times where I was re-recording and re-recording and re-recording the same episode because I wasn't getting it right. It wasn't coming out the way I wanted it to. And so often it was because I was just trying to do something that I wasn't ready for yet, which was use bullet points and just, I don't know if you know what I mean by a riff, but it means to just like improvise, but based on what you already know. I was trying to do that, but I would get so nervous and so wanting to make it sound perfect that I wouldn't be able to create something that I actually liked. And so I needed to resort to scripting out every single word, and then I would read it back. And that was the only way that I would feel good about what I was saying, because I knew I was following a word-by-word plan to get from the beginning to the end of what I wanted to share with you. So that was my journey. That has been my journey with this podcast. Today, the last few things that I've been sharing with you, those are all bullet points. I'm not reading word for word. And that is an accomplishment for me. But it's only come because I have been showing up here, doing this week in and week out, sucking, getting a little better, making so many mistakes, but not giving up. And so many of those mistakes felt like failures for me, where I would turn off my recording and think, oh, this sucks so much. I don't know why I'm even doing this. Maybe I should just give up. You ask my wife, if you don't believe me, you ask my wife, if you ever get the chance to talk to her, ask her, were there times that Aaron wanted to throw in the towel on this and just totally walk away from it? The answer would be a resounding yes, because she was the one that often talked me down off of the ledge that I was about to jump off of. So yeah, over time, over a year and a month so far, 50, I don't know how many episodes, 53, 54 episodes, I've gotten much more confident. I've gotten to the point where I don't have to read every single thing that I'm sharing with you today. I can just build out a point form sections of my episodes, and I can work off of that. But that's only come through repetition and practice and working through those moments where I feel like I'm a failure. And so fear and anxiety really did impact the way I was recording this podcast. And it was impacting my performance in general, with this whole idea that I have of trying to serve you as you get ready for the celibate. And it impacted me so much so that I was very close to giving up on this project many times at the beginning of this journey. Now, I know that this pressure that I'm talking about creating a podcast, about trying to build a business, it's not the same pressure that you are under as you're trying to get ready for the CELPIP exam. Oh my goodness, I can't even, you see, I am making mistakes. And I'm going to leave that in here because I want you to know I'm making mistakes as I go through this. I'm going to say that again. I want you to know that I know that the pressure that I've been pushing through is not the same pressure as what you face as you get ready for the CELPIP exam. Say that like three times fast. That's hard. CELPIP exam. Okay. I know that the pressure that I am facing is not the same pressure that you face as you get ready for the CELPIP exam, but it has and can have a similar effect on me. Just like I know it makes you want to give up. Just like I know it makes you want to think that you'll never be able to attain your immigration dream here in Canada to get your PR or your citizenship. It was affecting me in the sense of I'm never going to attain my dream of having my own business again that will help provide for my family, and maybe I just better give up. So while I know that our situations aren't the same, and I know that the stakes aren't necessarily the same, I want you to know, though, that the way to effectively deal with the situations that you are in and that I am in, the way to deal with it is the same. My friend, are you struggling right now with your CELPIP prep? Does it feel like you're lost and everyone around you knows what they're doing except you? Don't be afraid to ask for help. And if you don't have someone to ask, hello, I'm here. And I'm not even waiting for you to ask for help. I'm inviting you to come and work with me. I'm an experienced English teacher and certified CELPIP trainer, and I can help you prepare for your exam. So if you're ready to stop feeling overwhelmed with what to study next for the CELPIP exam, and if you're ready to get friendly support and encouragement when you're having a hard time, then today is the day for you to connect with me. I want to work with you. Just go to www.CELPIPSuccess.com/listener, and you'll get a 25% discount when you join the CELPIP Success School. I'll put a link for that in my show notes, but that link again is CELPIPSuccess.com/listener, and you will get a 25% discount. The CELPIP Success School combines weekly assignments that you can do on your own with unlimited support from me, as well as weekly live coaching calls. Let's work together and conquer the CELPIP exam. And I want to share a quote with you from one of my favorite authors. His name is John Acuff. I've talked about him before in previous episodes. I'll try to include a link to those previous episodes in my show notes this week. But there's a book that I am continuing to be reading right now. It's called Soundtracks. It's by John Acuff. And I highly, highly recommend that you pick this book up and read it, especially if you find yourself struggling with a negative mindset or if you find it hard to believe that you can do what you're trying to accomplish. I highly recommend this book. And while this quote that I'm about to share with you is talking all about overthinking, you can totally apply it to what we are talking about today, to not letting anxiety or worry affect your performance on the CELPIP exam. So when you hear me say the word overthinking, I want you to replace it with worry or anxiety, okay? So here's the quote. The antidote to overthinking isn't more thinking. The antidote is action. You don't think your way out of overthinking. You act your way out. And that's by John Acuff. So you don't think your way out of feeling overly anxious and worried about the CELPIP exam. The solution or the antidote is action. You don't think your way out of worrying and feeling anxious. You act your way out. And that's my twist on John Acuff's great quote. And again, that's taken from his book called Soundtracks. I highly recommend it. You should pick up that book and read it. I bet you'll enjoy it. So how can you apply all of this? And why did I go on and on telling you the story about my podcasting journey and how I went from being, you know, not very good at creating episodes to not being so very bad? I still make tons of mistakes, by the way, as you were a witness to just a few moments ago, but my confidence grew and my belief in my ability to create this podcast, the thing that you are listening to right now, has gotten stronger. And the only way it has gotten stronger is because I have kind of done what John Acuff's quote is instructing us to do. I took action. I didn't just think about wanting to do this. I started doing it, and I didn't stop doing it. And so what I want to share with you today as actionable steps that you can follow that will help you deal with the anxiety that you are struggling with as you try to get ready for the CELPIP exam, the first thing that I want to share with you is get used to being under pressure by being under pressure. Get used to being under pressure by putting yourself under pressure. So if you struggle with the pressure that the CELPIP exam puts you under, the way forward is not to avoid that kind of pressure. The way forward is to begin putting yourself under similar kinds of pressure right now, before your exam day comes. Don't commit the terrible mistake of waiting until the exam day to be under that kind of pressure. Don't do that to yourself. That is probably one of the worst things that you can do. If you know you struggle with coming up with ideas, with the right things to say, like for example, on the speaking section of the CELPIP exam, you might only have 30 seconds or 60 seconds to think about what you're going to say for one of the answers. If you know that that's something that you struggle with, thinking, what am I going to say? And knowing that you only have a certain amount of time to come up with those ideas, and then you only have a certain amount of time to get those ideas out. If you know that that's hard for you to be doing, the solution is not to hide from it. The solution is not to avoid those kinds of pressure situations. No, the solution is to, on purpose, put yourself in that kind of pressure now, months before your exam date, if you can. Do not wait to do this until you're a week out before your exam date. Give yourself time to experience this on a regular basis so that you can get used to that kind of pressure. And here's how you can do it. To practice giving timed responses where you are experiencing the pressure of thinking about what to say, and then having the pressure of saying what you're going to say in a certain amount of time, you can begin practicing by giving timed responses to news articles. Choose a news article or a news story that you hear on the radio. Choose one of those at random and give yourself 30 seconds, like tick your cell phone, set your timer to 30 seconds, hit start on that timer, and take those 30 seconds to come up with ideas about what you think about what you just heard or what you just read in the news. Just 30 seconds. Come up with a response. What do I think about this? What's my opinion about this? The next part to this is to open up your cell phone's voice recorder app. Most cell phones have a voice recorder inside, and all you need to do is open it up, and you will notice that when you hit the record button, there's a timer on it that records how long your recording has been. And all I'm going to challenge you to do is, as that timer is ticking away, begin to talk about what you just heard. Share your opinion on it. Use the points that you just brainstormed to give your answer. You're only allowed to talk for 1 minute. That's the whole idea of this exercise. Talk for a full minute, sharing your complete opinion, or at least as complete as you can get it, about the news story that you just heard or read. You're not allowed to go over, and you're not allowed to be too far under. Like, you shouldn't finish talking about what you think about that news article and still have 30 seconds left of that minute that you've been given. Okay, so try to fill up that full minute of time as you record. And as you get close to that minute, be watching on your phone, be watching the timer as it gets closer and closer to that 1 minute mark, and try to wrap up your opinion piece, like the thing that you're trying to express, try to wrap it up with a nice conclusion as it gets to the 1 minute mark, and then hit stop. So that is one way that you can put yourself under pressure as you practice the speaking section of the self-help exam. And of course, you want to do that more than one time. Practice doing it. I guarantee you, the first time that you do it, you'll probably suck at it. Just like I've been struggling to get these ideas out to you today, I've just been struggling. I've had to re-record this multiple times. You might need to re-record your answer multiple times in order for you to get it right. But the point is, put yourself under those time constraints. And again, this is something that you should be doing on a regular basis, not a week before you're going to do your exam, but like months in advance. Put yourself in these kinds of high-pressure situations so that you get used to it. Don't wait for the exam day to feel that kind of pressure. Give yourself ample time to practice and to get used to those feelings, because you will probably need more than what you think. Number two, do everything you possibly can to prepare. The more you prepare, the better your chances will be to score well on the exam. Don't overestimate your abilities in English. You need to practice. You need to go through the different skills that the exam will be challenging you with. And you need to get used to the format of the exam. Don't assume that you'll just be able to do it because, well, maybe you've been speaking English all of your life. Don't assume that you'll do well on it. Instead, do everything that you can to prepare. And here are my two favorite resources to help you prepare. And you can find them totally for free. The first favorite resource of mine that has been helping me, that helped me learn a lot about the CellPip exam, is actually on the CellPip official YouTube channel. And I'm going to put a link in my show notes to their YouTube channel. In case you've never seen it before, I highly recommend that you go and check them out. They have regular live sessions that you can join for free, and they've got a long archive of past episodes that you can watch and learn so much from. I really, really recommend their YouTube channel. It's a really good source of information for you. So that is one way that you can be preparing for free. You can also be using their free exams. If you sign up for a free account on CELPIP.ca, you will be given 2 free practice exams. This is a great way for you to get a feel for what the exam is actually like. It's not the real thing, but you will get as close to the real thing as you possibly can without actually doing the real thing. So that is a really good way for you to be putting yourself into situations that you will be experiencing on the day of the exam so that you won't have those, you know, surprises, you know, that you weren't expecting the exam to be like this or to behave in a certain way. Take advantage of those free exams, the free practice exams. Another resource that I've enjoyed with the CELPIP exam is their podcast. Unfortunately, it stopped back in April of 2022, but they have quite a few episodes in their catalog, and you can also find that on their website at CELPIP.ca. So those are 2 really, really good resources that you can be using to help you build up your skills. So the lesson from this section is to do everything that you possibly can to get ready. And to do that, you can also work with me. And my final suggestion for you is to slow down. Don't let pressure be the thing that moves you. We recently at work enjoyed a fraud prevention workshop where our local police force came in to make a presentation for our seniors around how to spot and prevent fraud. Because sadly, fraudsters, people who try to steal money and trick people, love to focus on seniors because they are usually easier to, you know, push around and make feel pressured into doing things. And one of the things that the police officer taught us is slowing down. Don't do things under pressure. If you're feeling like you're being pulled or pressured into doing something, in this context, in the situation of a fraud attempt, chances are there's something negative happening around you, because that's how the fraudster works. They try to make you feel pressured into doing something, like you need to act now or something negative will happen to you. And that negative thing is actually that they're going to steal a lot of your money. But the police officer was trying to teach us how important it is to slow down and to realize that in many and most situations, you do have time to think and to act and to access extra information to check out what this person is saying to you. So don't let pressure move you. Slow down. Don't let a high-pressure situation be what pushes you around. And the lesson to this is so important. And I've seen friends of mine fall victim to this, where they make this CELPIP exam that they're about to take, they leave it to the last minute for whatever reason. I don't know the reasons, but I have friends who left this one CELPIP exam to the last of their visitor visa status or their status as a temporary worker. They've left the exam to the last minute, like it's the week or the last couple of weeks before they have to leave the country, and everything is kind of dependent on them getting a good result on the exam. And I have friends who just didn't get the score that they needed, so they had to return home and give up on their dream of becoming a permanent resident here in Canada. So that's what I was trying to get at around don't let pressure move you with your preparation for the exam. Try not to make the results of this CELPIP exam, the one that you are preparing for right now, try your best to make this exam not be what is about to determine your future here in Canada. If you can, try to give yourself lots of time so that you are able to take the exam again if you need to. Multiple times if you need to. Because here's the thing. There's a quote by a lady named Becky Supiano, which I think is totally true. You can do all the right things and still fail. You can do all the right things to get ready for the exam, and you can still not get the score that you need. And that can, you know, it can be because your English skills just aren't high enough yet. That maybe you are doing everything right according to your level of English, but your level of English just isn't high enough for you to get the score that you need in order to get your PR. So you just need more time. And here's the thing. Time and persistence are your best friends with this. Make sure that you keep them as your best friends and not your worst enemies, which is what would happen if you leave your self-up exam to, like, you know, a week or two or 3 weeks or a month before you might have to leave the country because your temporary status here in the country is about to expire. You know, don't do that to yourself. Don't put that kind of pressure on yourself if you can help it. So thank you so much for listening to today's podcast episode. I hope that it was helpful for you. If you haven't already, I want to invite you to sign up for my free weekly newsletter. It takes a deeper dive into what we're talking about here today, or it explores another topic related to the CELPIP exam or learning English in general. It comes out every week. It's totally free. And to sign up, just go to CELPIPsuccess.com/subscribe. And I hope to see you here again next week. And thank you so much for listening today. Bye-bye. And because there's more people struggling with this, it doesn't mean that it's only you. And there's other people who are... No. See, this is an opportunity for me to practice this. And now I know that this is not the same pressure that you are facing as you are getting ready for the CELPIP exam, as you're trying to get ready for the CELPIP exam. Oh my goodness, I can't even, you see, I am making mistakes. As you get ready for the CELPIP exam. Say that like three times fast. That's hard. CELPIP exam. Okay. I know that the pressure that I am facing is not the same pressure that you face as you get ready for the CELPIP exam.